to the Porch here on Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grund. Getting back to basics, examining the Word of God, and especially the Book of Acts Church, the Porch Online Bible Study is here to consider and apply how the early church served the Lord. We want to restore the priesthood of the believer and the world-shaking influence the early church had. That has been our goal since day one, and we do that by digging deeper into Scripture to find the church the Lord intended, not the one man created. The church age is still in effect. Don't let anyone fool you. The day of Pentecost continues. The fire still falls. Porch is an outreach of Solomon's Porch, Inc. Go to onsolomonsporch.org if you'd like to contact us. If you'd like to support Firefall Talk Radio, go to firefalltalkradio.com. There are ways to do that, or you can write us and we'll give you more information. We appreciate your support and encouragement. It's what keeps us going. We appreciate our Blog Talk, iTunes, and iHeartRadio listeners. If you'd like to subscribe to Firefall Talk Radio on the Spreaker app, do so. You'll get updates on broadcasts. Our social media accounts on Facebook and Twitter are still active. You can get information there. Working on getting everything streaming off of one page to get rid of the shows. Everything will be done like we did on Blog Talk, everything under one name. Having a little difficulty getting that straightened out with iTunes, so we're working on it. Also, somebody let me know that the audio for the last 4 weeks was, for lack of a better word, muted in the archived form. So I went back in and fixed everything. So if you did not hear the last four shows very well, they have been re-uploaded on the Spreaker app. And you can go there, and hopefully I will check tonight and make sure that everything's well. I've made some changes with the microphone. We'll see if that works out, and that was the problem. Keep our brothers and sisters in Nigeria in your prayers. They are being slaughtered, and no one seems to care. There is no outrage from the world, so remember to pray for your brothers and sisters around the world. And I praise the Lord for my home, the home that I'm doing this from, my wife, my family, our new grandson, JJ, for our furry kids, and all of his possessions that he's given us. We have nothing without him. I praise him for the protection that he gives us, that Psalm 91 covering that is always in effect. I praise him for the ministry he lets me work. I praise him for all of you. I really do. I want you to know that I am thankful to each and every one of you. I praise him for the dreams and the visions and the promises being fulfilled, his healing virtues being available to us. I just praise him for the ability to worship and praise him, and not only to be able to show him love, but to feel his love as well. I praise him for being a new creation. The old Richard, in my opinion, wasn't worth saving, but he thought otherwise. And I'm so thankful that he did. And he's allowed me to serve him in these prophetic times. Praise him for America. There are a lot of things wrong, but there are also a lot of things right. And the fact that we can do this openly without fear of reprisals, like our brothers and sisters in Nigeria. Nobody's kicking down your door to slaughter you because you are a believer in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In other places, the enemy is in complete control. Here, he has control, but he is restricted. And we need to push back and we need to pray. I praise him for the signs he's giving us that he's getting ready to return. Let's pray for Jerusalem, the current Jerusalem, and the peace of Israel. And to do that, we pray for the return of the Prince of Peace. I pray daily for the fatherless, the widows, the innocents, those that are victims of injustice. As I said, our brothers and sisters around the world. You know, the babies in the womb and the animals, those that are his creation. It just seems to be a lot of evil in the world right now, and we need to pray against that. We need to pray for divine wholeness, health, and healing. I pray for me, for my wife, for my family, for all of you. Let's get back to our divine design. We have a job to do, and we can't do it if we're sick or we're weak or we're beat down. I'm praising him, praying for that, for protection and inspiration. I continue to pray for the remnant to rise up, wake up, answer the call to action, to jump in, get to work. There's a harvest out there to tend to, those that can bless and provide provisions to do so, that we would prosper in accordance with His word and show others how it's done. I'm praying and believing for the final money to finish this documentary and to get it out there and show the world what's really going on in the deep darkness. Stacy in Texas just offered an unspoken prayer request tonight, so folks, keep her and her family in your prayers. Kim in Fort Mitchell, she always sends me this nice personal note. I'm trying to cut down the time we spend on this part because I've noticed that in a lot of places, everything just drops off. People don't stick around for the Bible study, but sometimes we just need to share. She says, I praise God every day for my salvation, my sobriety, for my children, and His protection over us, for everything He provides, for His love, His lessons, for His patience with me, and for the friends He puts in my life. Said, I praise Him for this ministry and the teachings, for the porch community. My dog, Bruno, said, Father, I'm asking You to deliver my son, Maurice. Apparently, he was playing soccer the other night and got overheated, so he needs healing in his body, his mind, and his spirit. Praying continued prayers for this child support case, which has been filed. We need intercessory prayer for that. Unemployment is done, and she's just praying for God to provide for her and her family. Asking Him to show her what to do. Closed another door. Pray with me to accept in faith and trust in His plan. Praying for peace in her mind, and to keep her eyes on Him. Praying for her husband's soul, mother's soul, healing her dog Bruno. Father, You put something on my heart. I'm praying for the protection for the innocent. I'm talking about crimes against children and animals. I'm praying for justice. Folks, if you don't watch the news and realize the enemy is out and about and doing their thing, you're not paying attention. And she goes on, protect my family as well as Porch family, Stacy and her family. Continued prayers for SRT, for Richard to finish this documentary. I know I want to see it, and you do too. Father, I am praying for deliverance for myself. Point out what You want me to do and hear my prayers in Yeshua's name. Lord, You know all these things. We just speak them out in accordance with Your word. We touch, we agree, we come together as one. We know that You desire wholeness, health, and healing. We know that You desire provisions. So I pray that for Kim. I pray for Stacy and her family. Pray for me and mine and everybody that's listening. We want to serve You, Father, without the distractions and the cares of this world, the distractions of infirmities and injuries and all these things that the enemy uses. But first we want peace, that supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding, so that we can get through these times. But we're asking for relief. We're asking for divine relief. Some of our listeners are in some serious situations, in relationships, in family situations, health situations. Hearts are being burdened. Hearts are being broken. We can't make it without You, Lord. So right now, we cast our burdens on You, because we know You care for us. We believe You, Lord. We love You. We trust You. We thank You for what You did on the cross. We thank You for what You endured to pay our debt. We are especially thankful that You are alive. You rose to sit at the right hand of the Father, and we are allowed to sit with You in the heavenly places. Holy Spirit, we appreciate and thank You for walking with us and encouraging us. There are some right now that are in this race and they want to quit. I'm asking that You would encourage them, that You'd whisper into their ear, that You'd gird them up and even carry them at times if need be. We're going to make it to the end of this race. We're going to be there face to face to say thank You, Lord. We long for Your return. We just want to see You again. We want this painful, ugly world to be put back to the way it was. We want Hasatan and the fallen and their demonic offspring to be imprisoned. And we just want to worship you for eternity. And I pray all these things in Yeshua's name. Amen. These lessons are proprietary information, except where noted the information comes from outside sources. Combination of that information and the manner presented is exclusive, cannot be repeated or reused without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. So we're still talking about inside out. We're talking about the Spirit being in us and our life and our walk in the Lord being from the inside out. So go with me to John 14, key scripture in understanding this, verses 16 through 18. This is what he tells the disciples, and he's speaking to us too, never forget that. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. If you look at verse 17, he dwells with you and will be in you. See, the permanent universal indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit for all believers is at the heart of the distinctiveness of the Spirit's work in the church age, which I do not believe ends until he is taken out of the world and the church goes with him. The church age is still in effect. See, in the Old Testament, there were a few people that had the indwelling of the Spirit and it stayed longer than others. But for the most part, the experience of the Holy Spirit was external. He came upon people to do something at a particular time. He didn't abide, didn't take permanent residence. But with us, under this new covenant, it's completely different. When the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness because you've been with me from the beginning, John 15, verses 26 and 27. Look at verse 26. The comforter, the counselor, the helper, the advocate, the intercessor, strengthener, the standby comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes, proceeds from the Father, literally emanates from him. He will testify regarding me. That the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is sent from the throne room. He is issued from, proceeds from, emanates from the Father himself. The Lord is the bridge. He is the gap through which we get that connection, which means when we are in right relationship and the signal is right, we are in perpetual connection to the throne room. So the Spirit comes from the inside out, from the Father, from the throne room into us. And then what happens? It proceeds from the inside of us to the world. We've got to understand this relationship is not external. I saw somebody post something the other day. Oh, we had a great praise and worship service. The praise and worship leader led us into the throne room. Wait, what religion do you belong to? Because in this spiritual belief, this relationship, with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I don't have to be led into the throne room by anybody. I can boldly approach the throne of grace and mercy, saying, Abba, Father, Papa, God, Daddy. I am connected to that throne room through the Holy Spirit. I don't need you, worship leader. I don't need you, preacher. I don't need you, priest, to be a bridge from me to the throne room. The Lord's already done that. And then he put the Holy Spirit inside of me so that I have perpetual connection to the Father, and so do you, and so does every believer. It's what the Lord taught. It's what the disciples taught. How did we get back to an Old Testament perspective? I think the enemy had his hand in that. The enemy doesn't want you to understand what I'm teaching. He doesn't want you to get this concept. Because the minute you do, he'll be less powerful. He'll be less able to play you and manipulate you, and you will be a threat to his kingdom. Go with me to Acts 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. I mean, it's so amazing, and that just jumps out at me. You've heard this from me. Not from the prophets, not from John the Baptist, from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. When they'd come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Boy, this is just the wrong answer, the wrong question, guys, but he's got the right answer. Isn't it amazing how we ask the wrong questions? We do it so many times. And he said, it's not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put into his own authority, but you shall receive power, you shall receive dunamis, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. That whole dispensation before he leaves, we see it again in Luke 24. Actually, Luke and Acts should have been one, but he says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high, until it's soaked into you, until it's like a dye into material and can't come out. And he led them out as far out as Bethany, lifted up his hands, blessed them. It came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. His final words were about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. His final words were about the power and the dunamis and the help he was giving us to be a witness for him, Jerusalem, Judea, and the ends of the earth. The Spirit is abiding. He is endued. He is permanently in us. I just turned that into a multi-syllable word. He's permanently in us. So why do we keep looking for it externally? I recently asked that to Pastor Shelley, and I were talking about this. And I said, why? Why does the church keep looking for him on the outside when we were told he would be on the inside? And he couldn't answer the question. He was one that taught about the Spirit. He was the one that taught about the basics. It just seems like we want what we can see. The doctrine of indwelling is foundational to the ministries that the Spirit performs through us. It's internal. But see, religion looks for external solutions to internal problems. The Holy Spirit wants to deal with them inside out. The Holy Spirit's not looking for all these external forms and formulas and well, you know, if you understood the Hebrew, if you understood the Paleo Hebrew and the letters that God used to speak the world into existence, then you'll have that power. No, I already have the power that he used to create the universe inside of me through the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit he used to raise Yeshua from the grave. Why do I need to recite an alphabet? Why do I need to know words? Why can't I just speak in a heavenly language and let the Spirit do it? Because that's what the Lord said. It's a Pharisee spirit. It's a religious spirit that keeps looking for external ways to do what we were told to do internally, which I believe is why the Lord looks at the heart and why nobody wants to pay attention to that. The heart either confirms us or condemns us. Remember last week I shared with you Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Like opening a tap full open, it springs forth. Well, what's coming out? What's flowing out? What's proceeding out? It should be the Spirit. It should be faith. It should be power. It should be love. It should be the things that change people and changes the world. Remember, we talked about John 15 and the concept of the vine and the branches. If you can grasp this, if you can see this visually in your mind and then apply it to what we're talking about, those of you that are struggling with this concept, you may get over that hurdle. John 15, starting verse 4, this is the Amplified. Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Live in me, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in, being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from total vital union with me, you can do nothing. If a person does not dwell in me, he is thrown out like a broken branch and withers. Such branches are gathered up, thrown into the fire, and they are burned. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you, and continue to live in your hearts. Here we go. Ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. Oh, okay. I want a Cadillac Escalade. No. If he's in you, and he's in your heart, what you're going to ask for will benefit the kingdom, will benefit others. So using the illustration, the visual of the vine and the branches, you have this beautiful grapevine. Where's the sap? Sap's on the inside of the vine, right? In the center of the vine. Well, where's the fruit? Well, the fruit appears on the outside of the vine. Well, how does that happen? It's watered. It's cultivated. The fruit begins to grow. The sap, which to me represents the Holy Spirit, begins to fill the fruit inside out. In fact, all of creation is inside out. A baby is developed in the womb inside of the mother and then comes out. You plant something, it grows from the ground inside out. It comes outward to manifest itself into the world. I don't know how else to describe this. 1 John 2:6, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. If we're going to do what the Lord wants us to do to the best of our ability, we have to walk like he walked. And I know how difficult that is in our mind, knowing what we're like, knowing our lives, knowing our experiences, to be able to say, I can't do that. Yes, you can. To the best of your ability, you can, if you desire to. He walked upright before the Father. That's what righteous means. He walked with a heart, mind, soul, and spirit sold out to the Father. Whatever the Father wanted, he wanted. Everything about his life was about pleasing his Father. To do that, we have to be new creations. The old us can't do it. the old me would have tried. I was one of those people, if you told me I couldn't do something, I would attempt to prove you wrong. And I would do everything possible in my power to get it done. But this is one of those things that can't be done by yourself or the way you were. You must be a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Messiah, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you have been engrafted in Messiah, you are a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old, previous, moral, spiritual condition has passed away. And behold, the fresh and the new has come. Old things, the old, the archaios, the ancient, the original, the influence of the fallen, the old things are gone. My bondage is gone. I'm a new creation. Satan has no place in me. The demons have no place in me that they had before. The ancestral gods and spirits have no place in me. Everything they do has to be tried to, they have to try to manipulate me from the outside to get me to do it because they can no longer control me. I am a new creation. You know, when you look at this relationship that I'm talking about, if you begin to examine it with just the eyes of a child, take it for what it is, believe the word for what it is. You can say to me, well, Richard, I hear you, but I've never experienced this. What does that matter? If it's the word, it's true. Your experiences are your perceptions to particular events. Messiah rose from the dead and ushered in a new creation. I believe he ushered in an entirely new universe. I believe that when the Spirit went into him and rose him from the dead, there was a quantum signature throughout the universe to make that happen. So we have to believe Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created through him and for him. And then Ephesians 1:21, he is far above all principality and power, might and dominion, every name that is named, not only this age and the age which is to come. And we sit with him in that capacity as new creations. We've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Therefore, there should be a change in our nature. Now things are going to get a little rough. Because now we're going to talk about why it appears our nature hasn't changed. Ephesians 4, starting verse 21, since you have heard about Yeshua and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Throw it off. You know what your old nature is? It's some holy, ratty, smelly old clothes. Throw them off. Throw them out. Let them go. So what you used to be that way? So what? The enemy's going to come and remind you of that. You're a new creation. Hey, Satan, those are not my clothes. I don't wear those clothes anymore. Throw them off. Get rid of them. Maybe that's what's holding you back. Maybe when you write and ask, why don't I feel this way? Why don't I do what you're saying? Why don't I have the experiences you're describing? Maybe you're holding on to old stuff. Get rid of those bag of rocks that you're dragging around with you. Well, my mother did this to me when I was 4. And my ex-husband, ex-boyfriend, ex-wife, she this happened then. And when I was at school, this church did this. Throw it out. You're dragging around all these weights. And it's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to go to counseling so that you drag your rocks with you. And you take them out and you show them to the counselor. And this is what happened then. And okay, our time is up. Take your bag with you. You got to go. No. I want counselors that will take my rocks from me and throw them out. I want counselors that are going to sit there with me and get a hammer and smash them to bits so I have nothing to take with me. And that happens through the power of the Holy Spirit. That happens with being honest, just grabbing the sack, flipping it upside down, and not picking them back up. But to do that, you have to make a choice. You got to let go. You got to let go of the pain. You got to let go of the anger. You got to let go of the bitterness and all the things that you're holding on to. All the things you use to excuse your choices. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Wait, where does it say in 6:19 of 1 Corinthians, the Spirit is? The Holy Spirit who is in you. So the next time you hear one of your brothers and sisters talking about an external manifestation of the Holy Spirit, open your Bible, read 1 Corinthians 6:19. And then ask them to show you in the New Testament where the Holy Spirit is an external manifestation. See, he lives in all believers who have made Yeshua Lord of their life and have accepted his atoning blood on the cross. Now, isn't it interesting that here we are in 2018 and Paul was reminding believers in Corinth, the first Corinthian book, the very thing I'm talking about. See, the enemy knows that he can't defeat the Spirit. He knows he has no power against the gifts of the Spirit. He knows that he hates the fruit of the Spirit. So all he can do is try to keep you from developing them and cultivating them. And he does it through lies. He does it through manipulation. He does it through false teaching that had already seeped into the church within 30 years of the death and resurrection of Messiah. So here we are today. We're still trying to get it right. We're still trying to figure it out. But I believe we're getting it. I believe brothers and sisters around the world, maybe not the church itself, but a remnant is waking up to the fact, wait a second, there's more than this. There has to be more than this. The word says there is more than this. Greater things shall I do in his name. For some reason, teachers are still teaching and praise and worship leaders are still inferring that the Spirit comes and goes in an erratic, unpredictable nature that you never know when he's going to show up. Well, if I'm there, the Spirit's there. If you're there, the Spirit's there. Now it's a matter of are we going to let him do what he wants to do? Ah, that's where the problem comes. Are we going to throw off denominational do's and don'ts? Are we going to throw off the chains of restriction and say, Holy Spirit, have your way? I do. Just have your way. Do whatever you want to do. However you want to do it. It's your time. And this indwelling I'm talking about, it is not based upon your feelings. It's not even based upon you knowing. Because the word says it, therefore it's true. Let me say that again. Your feelings are not a proper measurement of the truth. They're not a proper barometer of the truth. Many times, your feelings are wrong. If the word says it, I believe it. Feelings are external. Faith is internal. Do you have the faith to believe that you're born again? Do you have the faith to believe that the Spirit is inside of you? Do you have the faith to believe that you can bear fruit for the Spirit? When I was a baby Christian, I didn't know better. If the Word said it, I believed it, and I expected it to happen, and it did. Now, of course, I wasn't perfect. There were issues of my flesh that I had to deal with, but I never once ever doubted that I was born again, filled with the Spirit, and that the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit were available to me. It was just a matter of getting to understand them better, just like when fruit grows. It doesn't just go, oh, there's a big grape. No, it grows, starts out of this little bud that if you tried to eat it would be bitter. It takes time to flow. It takes sunshine. It takes rain. Actually, the best fruit endures cold weather. It causes the sap to be sweeter. We don't want seasons. We want sunshine and rainbows all the time. No, we need the seasons to cultivate the fruit. I'm having a hard time speaking in English right now, folks. I'm telling you. So we have to decide, are we going to be carnal or spiritual? Are we going to let the Spirit abide in us? Now we have to talk about another topic people don't want to talk about, and that's called sin. Sin won't remove the Holy Spirit, but it will mute him. It will make it difficult to hear him. See, conviction is a matter of the heart, and sin will deaden our ability to feel his conviction. It's always there. If you're not feeling it, then there's something that needs to be repented of. Maybe it's just your bitterness that you think God has let you down. Maybe it's just your anger that prayers haven't been answered, or things did not go the way you expected. Romans 2:4. Do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? 2 Corinthians 7:1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. James 4:8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. What have you put your hands to that needs to be washed off? You know, in this day and age of germs, especially with JJ, we're always conscious of the fact that his immune system is developing. So we're conscious of keeping our hands and everything that, you know, clean. What if we applied that spiritually? As baby Christians, our immune system to the world is growing. Therefore, wouldn't it make more sense to be more conscious of cleanliness involving the world? Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. You don't feel it? Well, guess what? Spirit's there anyway. Because he was a gift given to you when you got born again. When you became born again. Romans 8, starting verse 5. We're going to get into an area here. Let's deal with it. Father, I'm going to say a little prayer first. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I pray for the Spirit of Truth to touch everybody. Everybody that's listening. I pray for every barriers to fall down. I pray for every eye to be opened, every heart to be softened. I pray every hindering spirit be bound, removed, every hindrance taken out of the way. Let your words pierce through the darkness in Yeshua's name. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Messiah living in them do not belong to him at all. And Paul's talking about the world. And Messiah lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God, who raised Yeshua from the dead, lives inside of you. And just as God raised Messiah Yeshua from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. You're either natural or you're spiritual. So which is it? As you think about this lesson, as you think about what I'm saying, as you dwell upon it, maybe you listen to it again, maybe you write down the scriptures and look them up, the question becomes, are you natural or are you spiritual? Because the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him, nor can they know them because they are spiritually discerned. The only way to know them is to have the Holy Spirit. That was 1 Corinthians 2:14. So the absence of the Spirit is the evidence of the unsaved state, the state of the believer who is not, the person who is not born again is not a believer. His presence is the evidence of being saved. His presence is the seal, the guarantee, the mark that you've been saved. If he only was given selectively to certain believers and not to others, not only would it not line up with the Word, it would completely negate the cross, the empty tomb, and the upper room. See, the New Testament does not teach or acknowledge two different kinds of believers. And I put this in here just before we went on the air. The Old Covenant was external. It was written on tablets of stone. The new covenant, written in his blood, is internal, and it's written on our hearts. So the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the confirmation, the seal of your salvation. Do you come under conviction? If you are writing me or calling me or reaching out for help, then you're under conviction. That tells me the Spirit's there. Unsaved, unredeemed people don't come under conviction. They don't seek my help. They don't seek the Lord's help through me. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is your confirmation and the seal of your salvation. When we abide in him and he in us, he has given us his Spirit. 1 John 4:13. Romans 8:15, you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received what? The Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So if the Spirit abides, then we abide in him. Vine, branches, sap. Without him, there's no fruit. So Paul gave us directions on how to make this work. Go with me to Galatians 5, starting verse 16. Looks like there's going to be a part three because I have many more pages. Galatians 5, starting verse 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. There are two forces constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions, but when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under the obligation to the law of Moses. Let me clarify that, because I know some Messianic people, the buns on their hair start to spin when I say that. If I am filled with the Spirit and the Spirit's guiding me, I don't need the law to tell me what to do. The Spirit's there to tell me what to do. The law is external, written on stones. The Spirit's written on my heart. I'm going to do it because the Spirit guides me to do it. If I'm being forced to do it, we have a problem. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousies, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Messiah Yeshua have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Flesh or spirit, that's the only division. There is no other middle ground. It's either flesh or it's spirit. It's either external or it's internal. If we live by the external, we are subject to the works of the flesh. If we live by the Spirit, we produce the fruit of his presence. Now, what about those times that you have no peace, or maybe you're a little agitated, or some of these things which are fleshly are apparent in your lives? Those are usually times when you're not spending time in prayer, you're not spending time in praise and worship, you're not spending time with the Lord, and you're not yielding to the Spirit in certain areas. And the enemy will do everything that he can to make you do that. He'll interfere with your prayer time. He'll throw things in your way. He'll distract you. If you're struggling with the things I'm talking about right now, you really need to get fired up about pushing back on the distractions in your life. So we're either going to be dominated by our sinful nature, or we're going to live a life led by the Spirit. Those are the only two options. Which means if we live by the Spirit, then we live according to a higher standard than can be achieved in the world, and definitely can be achieved under the law. There were many people who supposedly lived under the law who were not very ethical. As a matter of fact, the entire Sanhedrin, they put a man on trial and crucified him, though he had done nothing wrong. They broke their own laws on so many levels. Therefore, they were not ethical in their morals or their standards, yet they were the teachers of the law. But here's what I want. I want the potential of being energized by the Holy Spirit to do the things of the Spirit so that I can fulfill the commission given to me by God. Otherwise, my flesh, our flesh, is going to be energized by the world, by Satan, and we're not going to live the life we're supposed to live. Whoever we give free rein to, whoever we say, here, take the reins, you decide where I'm going to go, will be the one that guides our lives, will be the thing directing our choices in what we should know and what we should do. I'm not going to lie to you. I never have, never will. The inner conflict between the flesh and the spirit is real. It's real. It's at war because we're still in a body. We're still in this world. It won't be once we get that glorified body. It won't be once the Lord comes back. We won't have to worry about that anymore. But until we do, we have to fight. You have to fight back those thoughts instead of diving into the darkness of your mind. If you know you have an issue with your thoughts, if you know you have an issue with the pattern of your thoughts, the minute they rear their head, you may have to even just out loud to yourself say, no, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Yeshua, I bind you. I take my thoughts captive. I claim the mind of Messiah. And I cast down every vain imagination that is exalting itself right now above the knowledge and the teachings of my Father. You may have to do that until it becomes second nature. Otherwise, you're going to live this yo-yo life, this yo-yo Christianity, if you want to call it, this yo-yo spirituality, high highs, low lows. You're all over the place. Anytime the enemy yanks you, you go. Anytime the waves come, the boat rises and crashes and does all those things. Either that or you're going to throw down that anchor and not care about the storms and not be thrown about and tossed about by every experience in your life. The reason I am so adamant about this right now, through dreams and visions, I've seen what's coming. Through dreams and visions, I've seen what the enemy is doing and is about to do. And it's going to take a spirit-filled, obedient remnant who move in the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit to resist, act as a resistance army to what's coming. Religion won't do it. Rules and regulations won't do it. The dog and pony show won't do it. This world is doing everything it can to get us at odds with the kingdom of God. It's telling you through movies and television and media and even churches from pulpits telling you, oh, this sin is okay. You've got grace, grace, grace. Everything's grace. You're free. You're forgiven. No. We're either a slave to the flesh, the world, and the devil, or we are willingly slaves to God. Oh, I know we've been set free, but I've chosen to be a slave in the master's house. I've chosen to serve the master. Yes, I was a slave in the world, and he bought me with a price, and he set me free. And then I said, no, I want to stay with you. I want to serve you. I want to be wherever you are, doing whatever you want me to do. I've been marked. I've been bought. I'm yours. So right here, right now, where we are in this, I'm going to cut it short here. Are you a slave to God, to the Son, and to his righteousness? Or are you a slave to the world, to your own emotions, to your own thoughts, to your own feelings, to your own perceptions or preconceived notions? Only you know that. Only you can be honest enough with yourself in the sight and the presence of God through the convicting presence of the Holy Spirit to look at those parts of your life and acknowledge where your bondage is. Once you find those areas, the enemy won't be able to play you. He won't be able to play with you. So what are you going to do? Now I'm asking a serious question. I know you can't answer me because of the way we do things. If we were face-to-face or in a room or a conference center or someplace like that, what are you going to do? And don't give me the super spiritual, praise God, I'm going to do it, brother. Be honest. What are you going to do? What in your life do you need to throw out? What old clothing, I don't mean literally clothing, if you want to go in your closet and give it away, that's great, people need it. I'm talking about spiritually. What are you carrying around with you from your past? What needs to be discarded? What thought patterns? What choices? Whatever your problem is a manifestation of the internal problem you're dealing with. Let me say that again. Drugs, sex, pornography, all the things that the enemy uses to entangle us and put us in bondage, they're not the problem. They are a problem, but they're not the problem. The problem is something internal. Those things are just manifestations externally of what's going on the inside. They are your comfort mechanisms so that you don't have to deal with what you're feeling. How do we come to our senses? And the only way to do that is through the Holy Spirit. The only way to do that is to lay our hearts open and bare before God. And I do this often, Lord, I am blind, I am naked, I am wretched, and I am hopeless without you. I'm going to mess this up if you don't help me. I'm not above saying to him, Lord, I don't understand. And then realizing I'm not supposed to understand. I'm supposed to just trust him. Father, I'm coming to you right now as your son. And I'm speaking on behalf of the people that are listening, and I'm sure they're speaking to you too. We're living in a dark, demonic, despicable world that needs your light, needs your love, needs your presence. There are people that need to be healed. They need to be delivered. They need to be set free. And we're caught up in all the things that have no eternal value. And we're distracted. And then the cry is going to come, and we're going to look, and our wick has not been trimmed, and our oil has run out. And we've been asleep. We don't want to be asleep. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you right now, wake us up. Speak into our hearts and our minds and our inner beings. Show us those areas that are tripping us up. Lovingly encourage us, even guide us on how to deal with them. We want to live an inside-out life. We want to shine you to the world. We want to be free. And we want to live like we're free. Help us, Lord. Help us to apply this and live this and do this. In Yeshua's name, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.